Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, my guest today is Leah Fall, who founded 15,000 Qubits, which is a strategic SEO agency. She combined over a decade of marketing and business growth experience to cultivate a team with strong core values such as integrity, community, creativity, and purpose. Today, we're going to be discussing Leah's journey of building her agency and what she's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, Leah.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be a guest.
Great. So to get started, let's ask you a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So tell us, where are you tuning in from today?
Katy, Texas, right outside of Houston.
Very nice. And what would you say motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
Great question. So I would say it's changed a little bit as I've progressed in owning my agency. In the beginning, I think it was more on achievement and reaching goals. And I think what's evolved is that I'm really inspired by team culture and creating a mission statement and a purpose and bringing unity around that and creating a tribe that has a purpose and makes an impact in the world. That's a driving factor for me.
I love that. So you're obviously still super focused on the results you're delivering to the client, but you're also now really passionate, it sounds like, about, you know, building that culture and that meaning behind the brand type thing and like building up your team.
Absolutely. Yeah, one of our values is actually commitment to excellence. So yeah, the two are tied closely together. The quality of the work is tied into the value system and reinforces that quality.
I love that. That's awesome. And then, so tell us how you originally got into digital marketing.
So I've been in digital marketing for about 16 years. My first role was an in-house position at a local service company services, where I was hired as a junior graphics designer. And it was around the time where SEO was really becoming a thing for businesses. And I remember that business in particular, I was tasked to figure out what is this Google Plus thing, which is now Google My Business, which is now a huge factor in local service-based businesses doing well online. So it's interesting how I've been, you know, part of that progression. So I was very lucky to get in very early when SEO was just kind of becoming a thing. So 16 years ago.
Very cool.
And within that, I was very blessed to have an amazing female business owner that kind of pushed me and guided me. And at that time, I didn't realize how great it was to have somebody that took time to push me and work with me and mentor me. But now I look back and I see how valuable that was. But that's really what drove me into digital marketing and eventually led to me having my own agency.
Yeah, it's so interesting that you point out the importance of having that mentor and someone who just takes the time to really believe in you and give you that push, because I think that makes such a big difference, especially, you know, when you're starting out, and it can be daunting. It's a big journey, even if you're a super ambitious person. So sometimes just having that person that believes in you when you don't necessarily feel super hopeful is so beneficial.
Oh, 100%. I think I was on LinkedIn just the other day and I saw a post and it said something about how there are a lot of posts that I see that are about new hires and getting a new job. And, you know, the whole thing right now is the Great Recession, and to HR managers, how to get new candidates. And the post I saw was on, you know, the number one thing that a candidate should look for is has nothing to do with, you know, XYZ. It's all about what's your boss going to, you know, how's your boss going to show up for you? And are you going to have a mentor? And I think that is such a huge factor in somebody reaching success early on or attaining their goals, is are they going to have somebody that pours into them and supports them? And what does that person, you know, have to bring to the table for them? It's really important.
That's awesome. So what was the deciding factor to start 15,000 Qubits?
Another really good question. So, you know, I would love to say that that I had the typical, you know, process into having 15,000 Qubits where I made some goals and I wanted to do it and I did it X, Y, and Z. But really, it just, it found me. I've said in the past, the saying I would put towards it is like God had that in the plans all along and it just found me. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't ever plan to have an agency. I actually ended up, I was at an in-house agency myself, and I'd been in there for about a year, and I did a few case studies, and it ended up that a venture capitalist, you know, needed somebody to help him launch a piece of software, and he brought me in as like a fractional CMO. And when he gave me the offer, it was structured as a 1099, and so I would be a contractor. And I remember looking at my husband, and I was like, I think I have to start an LLC or something. and at that point, I started researching that, and I ended up, I was reading The E-Myth at the time. And yep. Have you ever read The E-Myth?
I have, yes. It's a good one.
I love that book. And I had just gotten through the part about your primary purpose. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to have an LLC. I'm going to have a company. And I'm going to think about my primary purpose. And because I didn't really know what my services were or what I was going to, you know, do.
Yeah.
It was more about who I wanted to be than who I wanted to work with. And so 15,000 qubits is actually the size of Noah's Ark. And to me, that stands for having the faith to build something. So I wanted to work with companies that had a lot of faith in what they were building. And I wanted to be an owner that had a lot of faith and took a lot of action and was a person of faith. And so, yeah, I got that LLC, I got that name, and I set up that LLC, and I had that one client for an entire year. And as I know, you can lose clients, it's not even your fault. And so I thought everything was fine. It was just me, just that one client for a whole year. And then something happened on their end, and it ended up not moving into year two. And I had this moment where I looked in the mirror, and I looked at me, the business owner, and I was like, are you really a business owner? Do you really, you know, do you want to go work for some, do you want to keep doing this and figure it out? Or do you want to just go back and work for somebody else? And I made the commitment to decide I really wanted to build a business. And so that I like to think that like that's when I learned the law of diversification. And so I went, instead of getting one client, I got a couple, and I hired my first employee. And so a year in, that's when I actually started growing.
Yeah, it's such a great lesson. It's a shame that you have to learn the hard way, but yeah, it's so important just having that diverse range of clients, not putting all your eggs in one basket. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what were some other challenges that you had to overcome like in the early days?
So I would say the biggest challenge that I had to overcome was my own belief in myself. And I'm really lucky that my husband was, you know, he had belief in me when I didn't have it. You know, there were several times where I remember the closet was the place where I went when I had a breakdown. But the first few times where I lost a client or, you know, something happened that I felt like was a failure, you know, I would immediately go to, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. And that was, I think that if I hadn't had my husband there to say, yes, you can get up off the ground and go do your thing, I would have quit. And that would be a shame because The team is amazing. The company is amazing. We have amazing clients, and we're doing some tremendous things in the world. And I look back on that, and I would say by far, getting over my own fears and lack of belief in myself was the hugest barrier that I had to overcome. And where that, I say, I learned the law of diversification, you know, that when I figured that out, it was just, I figured it out and I realized it and I moved past it. It was easy. It wasn't emotional. And for whatever reason, I had to really grapple with and for years kind of deal with and find that disbelief in myself kept coming back and mm-hmm. and you know that was something that very much was an issue for me that I'm really glad that I would say at this point the way that I got past that was that and I think everybody's different in how they handle that thought and other things that are really core issues for them. Mm-hmm. But for me, I'm very strong in my faith, and I believe that God has a purpose for me, and that this is a part of my purpose, and that it's really His. And so I've stopped getting in the way and saying, well, I can't do this. I'm not good enough to do this. What in the world was I thinking? Mm-hmm. And I've just surrendered to, well, the Lord has given me gifts, and the Lord has brought me here, and the Lord will open doors, and the Lord will provide. And it is going to work out. And even mm-hmm. if it doesn't work out on paper, like I think success is, and it doesn't work out like I think that it should, doesn't mean that it didn't work out in the grand scheme of things. So I became a lot more open to the end result being an okay thing. As long as you have an attitude of growth and a posture towards taking something from the situation.
I love that. And I think the more you mentally repeat something, you change your brain programming at a base level, you know? And like you said, it's not an overnight fix, and it's something that can come back for years. And sometimes out of the blue, you think it's something you've overcome and it just kind of presents itself. But I think that combination of faith and then just repeating those positive, you know, like you're just like rewiring your brain. You're programming yourself for success, basically, I think is such a powerful combination.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had one growth tip that you could share with any up and coming agency owners, what would that be?
Well, I would say read. and a lot of agency owners probably are, so I could give a second one. But I think reading for me has been the biggest contributor to my growth and progress through different stages of growth of my company and myself. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing I would say is joining some kind of a network of individuals that are on the same path and going mm-hmm. through the same issues, so that you can mutually support each other and have perspective and opinions that are different than your own. Basically getting out of the silo or the cave of your own thoughts.
Yeah, it's such a great point. Do you have a network that you could recommend that has been beneficial to you in the past?
Yeah, so I'm actually a part of Vistage. And Vistage is an executive networking group. And there are a lot of them, but I definitely would say that Vistage is a great choice to make. I've had a lot of experience, a lot of great experiences with it.
Awesome. Very cool. So I'd love to pick your brain a little bit about sales. And so how do you, you know, what are your tips for bringing in more leads to your agency and then closing those sales?
This is such an interesting topic. So I would say, you know, just to give a little perspective, 15,000 qubits is 7 years old. Mm-hmm. And we have a little over 20 clients, and we work on retainer and project model. So our clients are a bit bigger. And I would say my Achilles heel has been that we do not do our own marketing. So I've always had these beliefs that that's a bad thing. And I do still somewhat think that we should be showcasing what we do and drinking the Kool-Aid and putting that out there in projecting an image of what we do with our own marketing for what we could do for our clients. But the fact of the matter is that I've been a marketer for 16 years. I've only been a business owner for seven, and I'm figuring out how to scale operations and control the output and our service offering and the excellence and the quality of that at the same time as driving leads. Mm-hmm. And because I've been a marketer for 16 years, I know how to turn the key. And so we haven't done any marketing. Our website is the same website that was put on there a couple of years ago. And we're not updating our website, but we're updating our clients' website every day. And so as far as sales, we really work off of, I hate saying this, but word of mouth. I mean, we have over 75 five-star reviews on Google. And
amazing.
You know, yeah. And I think it's a lot different for a marketing agency to get those reviews than it is for, you know, more of a, I guess, commodity or, you know, something that's a lower price point and not as much of a long-term relationship. Our clients are with us for 12, 24, 36. We just 36 months. We just signed a client for their fifth year, you know, and so these reviews are coming from clients that have been with us for years.
And, that's amazing.
And so, yeah, it is. And it's such a wonderful thing. But when you talk about sales, it's like how, you know, I can't imagine at the moment scaling because we close the opportunities that come to us from our network and from, you know, referrals from our clients. If we were to actually turn on our marketing, I would know how to scale operations for that, because the reason why we get referrals is because we provide a wonderful service. And so I would say, honestly, sales comes from providing a great service, and then really the sale is done at the referral. It's just finding out the right solution for them.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And do you guys ask for referrals, or they just come in organically to you?
They come in organically.
Yeah, interesting. So what are some tips for, you know, really creating those really happy, loyal clients? Is there anything, any tips or techniques you've sort of come across along the way that makes your clients really happy?
So again, it goes back to initially where I said that my, you know, my driver and my motivation comes from creating a culture. I'm a big believer that when your team is happy and has passion for what they're doing, that they're going to create a great result for their clients and have ownership over that result and love what they're doing. And also they're going to be connected to the values of the company to try to create something that has unity. And so one of our values, I think, is while commitment to excellence, providing a great service and results, that's bar none the most important thing to be able to get a referral and to be able to provide a great experience for your customers. But the thing that I think gets creates an opportunity where we're getting referrals, where our customers are brand advocates and they think about us outside of the workplace, that comes from our value of celebration culture. So everybody on our team has a standard where if we're working, if our work that we create, we're creating this. We're not working in a large enterprise where the values are set for us. And the way that we work is created as a structure we have to follow. We create that. And mm-hmm. we all have the mindset of let's make it fun and let's have fun with our clients and let's create joy and let's create an experience that feels good. And that's something that I think is by far what creates our brand advocates that are out there and delighted customers that exist, is that our team has that as a value system at the base of what we do. And when we get off track from that, we use that as a guiding light to get back on track. So when we find that we're miserable in our day-to-day, then we do some checks and balances and figure out what's off, because something's off.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. It's so cool. So how would you say that you create joy within your team, and how do you bring joy to your clients as well?
So it's a silly little thing, but so we have a good example, though. We have a virtual team. So some are in, we're all kind of distributed through Texas though. But we are in different places. So one of the things I like to do, I've done this from the very beginning. So do you know the YouTube videos that kids watch, the unboxings?
No, I'm not familiar with those.
Yeah, so on YouTube, I have a 9-year-old, so I'm very familiar with this. Anyone that has a kiddo that's like under 10 will know what I'm talking about. So on YouTube, there are these kids that are celebrities, that they just, their family makes money just off of their child doing unboxings of toys.
And they sit in front of the camera. I thought you said boxing. Unboxing toys. Okay, I know exactly what you're talking about now.
Yeah. Yeah, so the kids sit with the toy or the thing, and they unbox it, and they're like, "Oh, it's so exciting!" And they talk about all the things that are in it. So yep. I came up with the concept that way back when I started the company that we were going to do quarterly unboxing, and I wanted to create a physical connection to the virtual workspace, and I wanted the all team members to have something that connected them throughout the virtual space. And so I would go to the dollar store, and you know, the dollar store, depending on what season it is, they have different things in the dollar store. Mm-hmm. And so I would go in and get things that were, the color of a value, or they embodied a value, or it was themed around a holiday. So literally right now I'm walking around in my house and I'm looking at, our Easter boxes that are about to go out to my team that are about going to be their Easter unboxing. And they have all these silly things like bunny ears and different stuff in it. But the team, we turn the camera on and we get on, we wait. Nobody unboxes without each other most of the time. Sometimes people cheat. But we get on, we do the unboxings usually together. And it's so fun because one time it was this little mini unicorn pinata, and I cut a hole in the top of it, and then, you know, that was used as a pencil holder. And so I'd pull it out and laugh about it. And that's just, it's a moment that is an intentional and created moment that allows for the space to be filled with joy. And that's just a good example of how we do that.
I love that. That's so fun. Yeah. What a great way to bring your whole team together. Awesome. So yeah. Do you have any productivity hacks that you have come across, you know, as an entrepreneur?
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily a brand new one, but I sometimes forget to do it, and it's a big one, and that's the calendar scheduler. So I use Calendly, but having something where the scheduling and the back and forth and the communication back and forth to work out availabilities, that's just a big productivity hack that I use. And it's actually evolved as my team has grown and the different functions of the team have grown. So I have actually built out our Calendly so that different team members and I have shared Calendlys. Mm-hmm. And if we want to schedule an event with somebody and we want them to pick from two of our team's calendars, they can send out an appropriate calendar invite, but you can also schedule it so it's got follow-up. There's a lot you can do with it to really leverage it.
Yeah, Calendly is awesome. You can integrate it with different platforms as well, which is super helpful. So yeah, I use Calendly every day and it's such a big time saver. Knowing what you know now, is there anything you would have done differently when you were first starting out?
You know, I would not tell my virtual employees that they could move wherever they want and live wherever they want and make that a benefit of working at the company. Mm-hmm. What I learned was that in the beginning, so we are a virtual company. And in the beginning, I leveraged that as a benefit. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, not that I want to discourage, but I encouraged that mobility. And I found that I had 10 employees all over the place and I was HR. And so, and I was also at the same time head of finance and figuring that out for the first time. And so what I found was that I had I had 10 different states, but I had at least 7 different states that I had compliance standards to meet and different guidelines to figure out. And I had to evolve my employee handbook to accommodate all of these different state regulations to be in compliance. And it created all of this overhead and complexity as a business owner.
Yeah.
But it took me about a year, maybe two, to walk it back and get to where, like I said earlier on in this discussion, my employees are all in Texas. And so we're distributed, and everyone knows Texas is, it can take 25 hours to get from one side to the other. So even though we're all in Texas, it could still be very far from each other. But what it has enabled is simplicity on that side of it. And because there's so much that you're opening up a can of worms if you expand out and have, you know, a bunch of different employees that are W-2 employees in different states, because you have to follow the regulations and guidelines of that state for how you are operating as a company. And so when you're having to accommodate, it's like imagine having 10 different spouses and you're figuring out how you live for that spouse and trying to accommodate 10 different people. It was very complex. And then also all of the mailings that would come in and keeping up with all of the different accounts and tax implications and everything with that. So I would, that would be by far the first tip I would give myself. And you know, you have to take it with a grain of salt. I would say I'm not opposed to having employees in different states. I'm okay with it if it's the right employee for the right reason. I just don't go looking for it. And also with my employees, I've got employees that, I mean, I'll jump through 7 million hoops to keep my team members. And if they moved, well, then we would figure it out. But it's just not encouraging it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And I think now that's a great lesson for a lot of listeners, because now with so many agencies going remote during the pandemic and staying remote, it's something to just keep in mind, because it makes sense that you would use it as a great benefit whenever you're hiring new team members, but definitely something to keep in mind.
Yeah, I run into a lot of virtual business owners that are kind of starting out with it, and it's a common misconception that isn't that big of a deal. You know, for me, it ended up becoming a very big deal.
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. So, where do you see 15,000 qubits in 5 years' time?
So we are evolving into more of a coaching and empowerment model. So what we're finding is that we did a SWOT, which is strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. As a team, in the beginning of 2021, we got together and we looked at a SWOT of all of our clients and our client successes. And we looked at our clients that have been with us for 5 years, and our clients where, you know, after a couple months, you know, I'm going to be honest, there are times when we have clients that start and we do the best that we can to vet it and make sure it's going to be a fit. But sometimes we recognize that while we're getting results, it's maybe not the best fit, or where expectations, you know, are not meeting up like they need to on both sides, whatever that may be, it didn't work out the way that we had desired for it to work out. And so we looked at both sides of the spectrum. And when we looked at that, we realized that our strengths by far and our wins and our successes really hinged upon what we are leveraging and moving into as our differentiator in the marketplace, which is that our entire team, one of our values is growth mindset. Our entire team has a mindset, and our other value, I haven't mentioned, we have four. Our other value is people first. So those combined mean that our entire team has a passion for growing other people and for educating and creating transparency in the digital marketing industry. And, you know, it really is becoming a saturated industry where there are so many, you know, service providers and agencies and freelancers and solutions that are out there for digital marketing, but there really isn't a lot of empowerment or education around it. Mm-hmm. To guarantee that the end user understands what they're getting. And we've even seen instances where we've had clients that they didn't have the worst solution before us, but they're really unhappy with it. And we go in and we look at the numbers and the data and we're like, well, it's really not that bad. You just don't understand what this is, and let us explain it to you, or vice versa, right?
Yeah.
Where they think like everything's been going great, but really they are looking at vanity metrics and it's not affecting the bottom line and they don't understand why. So where we're heading is we really want to disrupt the digital marketing industry. And most of the listeners might be mad at me, but really it's truly where I think we're heading is that we're really moving into this, this zone of focusing on, education and empowerment and enablement in the digital marketing industry. And in the services we provide, we really aim to equip our clients with, it sounds crazy. I'm telling you, I talked to other agency owners and they're like, why would you do this? But it creates such loyalty between us and our clients where we give them our process. We give them our template. You know, we give them whatever it is that we're using, and we give them the ability and knowledge to use it themselves if they want to. And sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. They say, you just keep doing it. But they understand it.
That's a really interesting, like you want to talk about radical transparency. That's like the perfect definition right there. And you guys have seen great results from it. So it just goes to show the power of that transparency and how it builds trust. We're getting ready to wrap up here, but first I have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions for you. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership.
Awesome. And what does your morning routine look like?
Well, I block off 45 minutes to spend with my son, completely focused on him. And then I go into my routine of shower and do a devotional and kind of set my tone for the day.
Nice. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Russell Brunson.
And what is your favorite online tool?
Well, I already said Calendly. So I would say Asana.
Perfect. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
It's all going to work out.
Awesome. Yes. Wise words. You work hard and you're capable of great things. So thank you so much for joining us today, Leah. It was a pleasure to have you on the show and I really enjoyed our conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.